We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yeah, it was your idea to come in here early, and then you're rolling late. What's with the holdup?
Traffic outside was ridiculous. There's a police officer off to the side of the road, just kind of sitting there with fire with a truck just on the side of the road, and I'm not sure why he didn't just let us all go and then we had to condense down. And when people need to merge lanes, I don't quite understand it. They have a very difficult time just merging lanes. It's very simple. It's one car at a time, nice zipper method. And that's how it works easy.
That's why there's traffic down this end of the road where I come from as well, because you got folks coming from the left, folks coming from the right. Everyone coming from the right needs to go to the left. Everyone coming from the left needs to go to the right. Now, it's an understood thing that you go every other, but every once in a while there's that who decides, oh, I'm gonna speed up, try to get one car ahead, f***s up the whole thing.
It's miserable. It happened to me trying to get on the highway and then getting in front of the building just to get in the building. I was pissed. Bloody hell. It's ridiculous.
Good thing I've been sitting in here with the mics just rolling.
I noticed as I was walking in that the mics were on and we were recording, so I was like, you know what? Just gonna come in hot and bothered.
You and I have not addressed this tweet off air yet, or off not from behind mics. Uh-oh. Yet. I noticed that you were tweeting about Lizzo the other night.
I happened to see someone who said they were, quote, all in on Lizzo, to which I responded with, our own Rich Keefe is a big fan of Lizzo.
Really?
Yeah, and so I said, this is a Rich Keefe approved message. Mm. And Keefe says, I can agree. We are in on Lizzo.
See, my thing on Lizzo, well, first off, your take. Who do you think the man on the Minnesota Vikings is?
What?
She has a song where she says something about a man on the Minnesota Vikings. Ooh. Apparently, she was getting DMs from a Vikings player a few years ago. So it can't be Wiggins.
My guess is like Danielle Hunter.
Danielle Hunter. That would make sense.
He's just he's a massive human being because he's a defensive end.
Yep.
And then, you know, I just think, you know what? Danielle? It's spelt like Danielle, but it's pronounced Danielle. Might be Danielle.
It's probably into Lizzo. Yeah, you know that Lizzo album got like trashed by critics.
Really?
It's like one of the poorest reviewed albums of the year, which is garbage.
Surprisingly, doesn't shock me.
Doesn't shock me, but it's like completely BS. it is just headbangers back front to back.
Oh, 100%.
Now, Sean, we actually received a listener question.
Oh, no way.
We did, yes. If you'd like to email us, we are offdaythepodcast@gmail.com.
Now, make sure,
since there are sort of two, this is like a two-headed monster, this podcast, because if you got Andy and Ryan during the week, Sean and I on the weekends, make sure you specify whom you are sending it to. This
yes,
one was clearly
so.
For us based on the
Ooh,
context.
Perfect.
Now, the name on it is subtly, is kind of questionable.
Oh, boy.
Mike from Chelmsford. Now, we know a Mike from Chelmsford. I assume it's not the same Mike from Chelmsford that you and I know.
Okay.
Who was on this podcast with us last week.
I hope so.
Probably not him. So you guys mentioned on the first episode that you like to sing duets. What are your favorite duets?
Ooh,
simply the question.
Okay.
I see you.
So personally, my favorite duet, and take this as you will, but my favorite duet is Zac Efron, Vanessa Hudgens, Breaking Free from High School Musical.
This is a nice little story. So one of my friends, who is very happily living with his girlfriend, prior to when he was seeing this girlfriend, they were just starting to kindle up. And he was in line at a bar in Worcester, and that song came on, and he like started belting like the Zac Efron song, and some random girl starts belting it with him. This girl was like an Instagram model, one of the most beautiful women I'd ever seen, but he is a good boy. He had just started kindling up with his current girlfriend, ended up working out greatly, but he just started singing High School Musical, and it almost led to a relationship with this girl who was like an Instagram model and streamer and played like PUBG or something.
That's crazy.
True story.
I'm kind of jealous.
Some of my favorites. Remember Me from Coco.
Okay.
And there are like 90 versions of that
in
Coco.
Sure.
So I believe the first one, if you're on the soundtrack, it's the last one that's actually called Remember Me before they start saying Recuérdame.
Okay.
They do say Recuérdame in the song.
Recuérdame.
The one that you and I referenced in the first one, It's Always a Good Time.
Yep.
Carly Rae and Owl City. Carly Rae needs more duets. I don't like that
one. And then,
one.
Of course, if you don't peek this song, you just didn't see the movie and you're a bum, Shallow.
Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga.
And I was going to hit on Lady Gaga because there is a live version of Elton John and Lady Gaga singing Don't Let the Sun Go Down
Ooh,
on
that
Me.
That sounds fire.
That is phenomenal. But anything from the A Star is Born soundtrack, mm-hmm. as well as, it doesn't have to be Man and Woman, Save Rock and Roll by Fall Out Boy featuring Elton John. Okay. Elton John and Patrick Stump duet.
Okay.
One of the more beautiful songs I've ever heard. Ever heard in my time.
You want to know what duet I'm going to love that hasn't quite come out yet? John Mayer, Chris Stapleton, coming out with a new song.
Really?
Duet. They performed it live, apparently, in like Nashville or something, like a week ago or less than a week ago. Can't wait to hear that. That song, I can guarantee, I'm going to love.
See, that whole thing was going around last night. What artists, like, best third album? Well, we'll talk about football in a couple minutes here.
We'll get there.
What artist's third album is their best? And I completely blew it on Continuum. John Mayer's third
album. Yeah, I saw Pete Blackburn's tweet.
I know, I did. I saw that. I was kicking myself after. I was like, because we have, well, you've got Blink-182 and Green Day, depending on how you count their first album, because sometimes they don't count the major label, the non-major label release as an album. So you got those two. You've got 1975 from this past year, but I blew it on John Mayer. That's my favorite artist right there.
My favorite third album is without a doubt, no questions asked, 2014 Forest Hills Drive, J. Cole.
Oh, I know. You're one of those rabid J. Cole fans.
I'm not rabid. I personally love J. Cole. It's just a thing that I enjoy, and I understand people that don't, and that's fine. But I love J. Cole, and that was his third studio album, and I loved it.
Okay, so now we'll talk about football. I added a segment without telling you.
Ooh.
It's not even really a segment. It's basically it's just news. We're inventing the news segment. Kind of like Magic Johnson invented lists last night. We are inventing the news segment.
We are inventing news. I like
we're,
it.
We're inventing news, and we have a sounder that goes to the start of our news segment. Your mic just came unplugged.
My headphones, yeah, I know, I'm aware. I was not prepared for that. Speaking of that, so quick aside, because that sounded like a rubber chicken, have you ever seen a rubber chicken singing Despacito?
No.
If you want to laugh today, do yourself a favor.
This was me and my buddy's college radio show. We'd talk about YouTube stuff with each other and then just pull it up and shoot it over the air.
If you want a laugh today, just go to YouTube, type in rubber chicken Despacito, and it'll be the best thing you see all day.
Okay, I'll note that. We actually ended one of our shows, so we had this band on that was at our college, one of whom is, his name's Tyler O'Day. He works for Barstool now. He's mm-hmm. one of the, I think he runs the college program or whatever, but he was friends with my buddy. So his band came on. It was basically just to mess around. And we ended the show with the Doug Dimmadome, owner of the Dimmsdale Dimmadome video, and then us just making noises.
That's intense.
So that was that. So we'll do this again.
Okay.
We'll start over again. Steelers wide receiver coach passes away, Darryl Drake.
Yes.
Does this impact your opinion of the Steelers this season and how well they perform?
No. Our thoughts and prayers are with Darryl Drake and his family and the Steelers.
Sir.
And but overall, I think for me, I was down on the Steelers anyways.
Right.
So for me, I don't think this greatly impacts that whatsoever. I think at this point, Juju's an established receiver. So if he's gonna pop off, he's gonna pop off. Otherwise, I just don't see the Steelers succeeding as much as people think they will. So overall, I don't think it's a huge, huge impact.
And that was a sad photo. Did you see Juju at practice yesterday?
I did not.
He was like walking around. He was like crying basically. He sat down on the bench. Big Ben's hand was on his back. That's sad.
We had Wiggy. We were producing Dalen Keefe yesterday. We had Wiggy on the show, and Wiggy had worked with him at Georgia. And Wiggy said he was just an awesome guy with an unbelievable character, and like you wanted to work for him. So
right.
I'm not shocked by Juju's reaction.
And the other big bit of news that isn't Antonio Brown, because I don't feel like talking about that.
That's fair.
You were very high on the Colts last week.
I am very high on the Colts.
Where are we right now after, as you see behind you right now, I have Chris Ballard's conference call coming in that we can use today. He updated the Andrew Luck injury, and he said this is not 2017, but he said it was an ankle issue that was cumulative and has now developed into a high ankle issue.
Yeah, that does not bode well for the Colts. And, you know, I think it was Ursay yesterday had come out and said that it was an ankle bone problem in his ankle of some kind, to which Dale responded with, "What the hell does that mean?" And I was kind of in the same boat. But hearing all this does not make you feel good about Andrew Luck and the Colts. And if Andrew Luck's out, the Colts are going to be trash. It's just kind of how it is.
And now, okay, so today's big topic is the NFC over/unders. Mutt is not here, which means you and I have the table. However, first, we had some reaction to one of my takes last week from the men who I produced the off day during the week for.
Okay.
Want to hear that?
Let's hear it.
One thing that also I forgot to mention, the payday with John Anderson and Chris Scheim, with Mutt too as well this past week, they had an over-under prediction of the Bills over 7 wins.
Yeah, I'll take the under.
Yeah, are we kidding here?
I'll take
the John said over 7.
Well, that proves how dumb he is.
Yeah, awful.
What is he doing?
Yeah,
Josh Allen, he represents us in some form or fashion. I don't want to be tied to him.
Especially with that take. Josh Allen's terrible. He's one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen.
Just build Twitter followers and keep his mouth shut.
Well, that's what we need right now, apparently.
Yeah. Okay, but yeah, that's a bad take. But whatever. Yes. Hey, maybe he'll be laughing come December.
So this will be our last episode. I was essentially
just
told,
gonna end the podcast
my
now.
Own host essentially just told me to shut up and dribble. It's the producer version of Shut Up and Dribble. Shut up and get us Twitter followers.
I'm in. Hey, man, you know, he didn't hate my takes, so I'll just keep coming back. Don't worry, guys.
Well, that's because a little inside radio. I put that on their rundown. Oh. But, you know, we play a psychological game. Only Ryan sees the rundown, mainly because Andy could see if he wanted to.
He just never looks at it. That's good.
So, main topic, NFC over and unders. Now, very similar to last week, where I did not regard the actual money side of it, and I was more of just guessing whether it was over or under. That is also what I'll be doing this week.
That's fine.
But I will let you start this week.
Okay, so right off the bat, I was high on it our first week, talking about Super Bowl winners, NFC winners, and MVP, the Seahawks, over 8.5. I believe that's like -130, which is fine. I'm okay with that. But overall, I think the Seahawks are a safe bet to win 10 games. Pete Carroll is one of the better coaches in football. It's one of the coaches I trust. That defense is always good. I think this offense is going to be a little retooled, and I think Chris Carson is going to have a huge year for you fantasy players out there. And I think Russell Wilson is bound to have a great year off of that good Chris Carson year. And so I think the Seahawks are primed to win at least 10 games. So I'm going to hammer that over of 8.5.
All the stuff, I don't know if you saw me also stop the recording there for a second by accident too.
That's
but
fine. It is what it is.
Like 5 seconds of your Seahawks take is gone forever. But yeah, think about Chris Carson is that a lot of stuff's been coming out. He's been talking about it. Pete Carroll's been talking about them passing more to him this year,
mm-hmm.
or and to the running backs in general, which I think is a very good thing for that offense.
I think it's a smart thing.
I don't think, especially in that division, has got three of the more modern offensive minds in the league. We'll see what happens with Cliff Kingsbury. You're going to need to start throwing to your running backs more and not be the run-heaviest team in the league. They ran the ball in like 53% of plays last year. Which
yeah, but
is
I think their run
one.
Efficiency was like off the charts. It's
their run
like,
efficiency, and then also
I
since
think they were
have,
second only to like the Ravens.
But if you have a $140 million quarterback in Russell Wilson, I think you should probably let him throw more.
And I think you're going to see a lot of two-back sets because I think they like Rashard Penny, but I think Chris Carson's going to be the feature back. But I think you'll see a lot of two-back sets. A lot of RPOs and hopefully some running back incorporation in the pass game.
So sticking NFC West, I'm going with the 49ers, and this is a tough one. This is putting a lot of trust in Kyle Shanahan. I'm going 49ers over 8 wins.
Oof.
And now that is obviously that's tough because
of Garoppolo staying healthy.
Right, a lot of faith in the issue is the division that they are in. Now, my thing with that division as well is I don't really think any other team, except for maybe the Rams, is going to have a great defense. I think the Seahawks will be a good, more situational defense, kind of like the Patriots were a few years ago. But I don't think their defense is going to be, you know, they've got a lot of turnover. They let Justin Coleman walk. Frank Clark's gone. Yeah. If it's top half of the league, then it's like 15th or 14th
that's
defense,
fair.
Something like that. But Cardinals defense isn't going to be good. Rams defense lets up a lot of explosive plays, and I think somebody like Kyle Shanahan, who last year their offense led the league in explosive plays, both pass and run. If you're going, I believe the way it's defined on the site I was reading it on was like 10-plus yard runs or 15-plus yard passes. The 49ers were like by far the top team in the league for it, but they went 4-12, which boils down, because if you look at their DVOA and things like that, it's all like bottom five of the league.
And that happens when your quarterbacks are Matt Mullins and
Nick Mullins, yeah.
Mullins and CJ Beathard.
And when they turn the ball over a lot, because they had one of the worst turnover differentials in the league last year.
Exactly.
Now, it's not like Jimmy G was particularly safe with the ball when he was playing. I think Jimmy G progresses more from a not turning the ball over standpoint. Now, health was also an issue with them last year. They were like the third most injured team in the league. Their wide receiving core got decimated. Their defense probably still won't be good. They bring in D Ford. They bring in Quan Alexander.
Yep.
They have nothing in the secondary.
Yeah, Sherman's getting old.
Right.
Like
all those players they drafted a few years ago that had great seasons, like Adrian Colbert, and Colbert, whatever it is, French, you know, that's the thing we're dealing with in New England right now with Eric Saubert. So, and Jason, Akello Witherspoon. They were horrible in their second years in the leagues, and that happens a lot. I don't know. Maybe they bounce back. Jason Verrett, who they bring in from the Chargers, who has been injured like 4 out of 5 seasons in the league, is already injured again. He was probably on track to be their number 2 corner. So defense isn't looking up on them. However, and I've been raving about this book I've been reading by this guy named Warren Sharp. His whole thing, and
with the off-brand logos.
Yes, with the knockoff logos, because he couldn't get licenses. His big thing that he studies is the success of an offense on early downs. So bypassing third down completely, like not saying get to third and manageable, but saying like, no, just skip it. Just don't do it at all. This is the best way to do it. And he's been taking statistics on this stuff for like over 10 years. So he has it as one of the top correlating things with wins. The 49ers are the only team of the top, or they're one of two teams in the last 2 years to finish in top 10 in both offensive and defensive. So on defensive, stopping opposing teams on early downs, and on offense, succeeding on early downs, which makes sense because of the way Kyle Shanahan schemes up an offense.
Yeah.
But the turnovers killed them. Now, they do start with the Bucs and Bengals on the road. They might start 2-0.
That's very favorable for them.
But here's how they end the season, which is where I'm concerned. But again, it's over 8, so I think they can get to 9 easily, even with this last 5. Baltimore, New Orleans, Atlanta, Rams, Seattle.
Baltimore, New Orleans, Rams, Seattle.
That's how they end the year.
The only thing you have going for you there is if the Rams are 14-0 and they're like, we're going to take these last 2 weeks off. Like, that's... Or Drew Brees completely falls apart. Like, that's a tough end of the season schedule.
They have the easiest schedule of run defenses as well. We know they're loaded at running back.
Yeah, they have.
They can. They have like 8 running backs they can put in the game
at
any
time.
I don't know. So I spent too long on that. You're the second pick.
So my second pick was, we just saw them, if you're a Patriots fan, the Detroit Lions. The line set at 6.5. I am going to hammer that under. Matt Patricia is so bad. As a head coach.
He's so dumb.
He said, quote on PMT, they asked him if they gave him the parts for a rocket ship, if he could build one. And he said, quote, we're just trying to get a first down.
Oh, and you know what they're really bad at?
Getting first downs. He probably has a better chance. The percentage chance of him building a rocket with the correct materials is probably higher than him getting them to a first down. And so therefore, I am taking the under on the Lions all day. Kenny Golladay is getting this huge hype. I like Kenny Golladay. I don't like him that much. And I just think...
I like Kenny Golladay if they were running an offense that was suited to throwing the ball to Kenny Golladay,
exactly.
Which they don't do.
They don't do.
They do not do it.
Kerryon Johnson might have a big year, but I don't trust the offensive line. And then the defense is spotty at best. And Matt Stafford is Matt Stafford. He's going to be a fine fantasy quarterback, but he's never going to win you the big games.
Right.
And so I'm going to hammer the under here. I think Matt Patricia's a boob.
You, my friend, are a boob.
I'm going under. 6.5.
I guess this will launch into my NFC North question, because my next two picks are NFC North teams.
They are.
And both of them I'm picking... This is almost more of a ripping of the Bears than it is the Vikings and the Packers.
Okay.
The problem is, I forget what the Bears was. The Vikings and Packers
the
are both
Bears
set at 9 wins.
The Bears are also set at 9 wins.
Okay, so I'm basically, I kind of wish it was 9.5, to be honest. Can we just say it's 9.5 for the sake of this? Yeah, we're saying it's 9.5. I think the Vikings and Packers both could end up 10-6, and the Bears could end up 9-7. That's kind of more where I'm going with this, more than like, oh, the Packers are going to blow by 9 wins, get to 13. Because the thing with, and let me go with the Vikings first, because... this has come up in the last 2 weeks, the whole thing about Zimmer and DeFilippo and him, Zimmer, demanding they run the ball and essentially screwing their season. So they've got Kevin Stefanski now, who I believe was promoted. I think he was their tight ends coach or something before this, maybe running backs coach. So they brought in Gary Kubiak as a offensive consultant or something. I would assume that means he's in the building, which I believe he is. I believe I've read
I think
that
he just has
he's
like
in the
a,
building.
Yeah.
The question is, because Kubiak is the complete opposite of that. Like, all of these minds we have in the league right now, McVay, Shanahan, Kingsbury, not really Kingsbury, but like Zach Taylor, Rich Scangarello with the Broncos.
Passing offense.
They're all from Kubiak. Yeah. Like, they're all in the Kubiak tree. They run Kubiak's offense. So the idea is Kubiak would want to have, like, instill his offense on the team. Now, the question is, does Zimmer get pissy with that, or does Zimmer realize that he messed up last year and basically screwed them out of the playoffs?
Yeah, by saying, let's run the football more. Right. And that scares me. So if Zimmer says again this year, hey, we need to run the football more, and you start losing games, it's like, well, now you're screwed.
Right.
You have one of the best wide receiver duos in football, an explosive running back out of the backfield who can catch the football, mm-hmm. throw the football.
I know. And so they draft Irv Smith as well in the first round. So I'm starting to think, like, oh, they can use, like, two tight end sets. They can have Kyle Rudolph on the field. They can have Irv Smith on the field. The thing with the Vikings, I was reading about this last night as well. They, and just from over the years of seeing who they draft, they never really play their first-round picks. This year, they'll play Garrett Bradbury, that's what it is, the center. They'll play him. They sign Josh Klein as well. Their offensive line should be much, much better than it has been the last, like, 2 years.
Yep.
But they sign, so Irv Smith, they draft in the second round. I don't trust that they're going to run more two tight end sets. I trust that they're more going to do what they've always done, even on the defensive side of the ball. They did it with Danielle Hunter when he was drafted. He didn't really play his first year. They're probably just going to play Kyle Rudolph and not really play Irv Smith a whole lot. So that's why I'm taking them. I am taking them over 9 because I think somebody like Gary Kubiak would at least, if you're going to hire him, there should be a sense of trust, even if he's not the OC. But I feel like somebody like Gary, if Gary Kubiak's in the building, I feel like it's more of a co-offensive coordinator
situation. I think the one thing I would actually pivot on your pick, if I was making this pick, which I don't feel comfortable doing, because I feel like three teams being at 9 wins in the same division is just like a trap to avoid. But ultimately, I think the Bears will be good enough that I see regression in the Vikings. I see with a new system coming in, a lot of people don't trust Kirk Cousins. I happen to actually be someone that does.
I trust him too, but the system's kind of the same one he was running with the Redskins, though.
So it is, but at the same time, it's like, but like you said, it's, do we know that's exactly what the system we're going to get?
I don't think it's exactly the same, but I think it's going to be similar enough in the sense that they're going to run a lot of play action with him. He's talked about that a lot this offseason. Him and Stefanski have both said, which I don't know why they're just telling the media what they're going to do. Yeah. I was reading a story about Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur last night. They were speaking very candidly about how their offense and what they're going to do. And I was reading it. I'm like, Tom Brady and Belichick would
never
never speak about strategy even this far in advance. Like that would never happen.
Yeah,
but
I guess I'm apprehensive with the Vikings this year. I feel more confident in the Bears than I do the Vikings. But alas, there we are. So you continue with your Packers take since we're still in the NFC North.
And then I'll swing it back to you for your last pick. But so my thing with, oh, by the way, Vikings, outdoor road games under Mike Zimmer, they have lost every single one except for that tie against the Packers last year.
That's good.
So, and want to hear their outdoor road games this year?
Let me hear it.
Packers, Chiefs, Chargers, Seahawks, Bears.
Yeah, that's 5 losses.
Yeah, I hate to be like 0-5 in that, but that's why I'm saying, like, if we're gonna go over 9, it's like I'm literally going 10.
Yeah, you're thinking 10-6.
Like, I'm thinking it's 10.
So that's the beauty of people setting lines, is they know that they're looking at these schedules and they're like, wow, it's gonna be right around here, and that's why it's so difficult to choose over under 9, because I think the Bears are right around 9, I think the Vikings are right around 9.
And so my thing with the Packers, so you've got Matt LaFleur with a healthy Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers, overrated, underrated conversation aside, when he's healthy, they've made the playoffs. When he isn't healthy, they haven't made the playoffs. And I know I don't like to do black and white stuff like that. I like to take everything into account, but that is something that is a cold, hard truth. When Aaron Rodgers is healthy, they have made the playoffs. You can say he's overrated. You can say he's underrated. I don't care. Matt LaFleur brings in a system that I think will help Aaron Rodgers, but it might get them off to a slow start.
Yeah.
Because it's a new system, and even though it's Aaron Rodgers. And again, I just brought up the story I was reading last night about Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur in the system. Aaron Rodgers has already said to them, and again, speaking candidly to the media like this, I don't know why, they're basically keeping their red zone and their two-minute offense the same as what he said, but they're going to ratchet up motion. So the Packers ran motion, pre-snap motion, the least in the league last year. The Titans were one of the highest under Matt LaFleur last year. Play action is a thing they will do more, which helps the QB if the QB gets comfortable with it, which Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Fame quarterback, so he'll get comfortable with it. And motion, helps the quarterback as well. They also have they have a very easy jump in pass offense schedule as well. So, well, not necessarily an easy schedule, but like based on what it was last year, this year it should be slightly similar to that. Aaron Rodgers stays healthy. I think they easily clear 9 wins. They might get off to a slow start. Here are their first 5. Bears, Vikings, Broncos, Eagles, Cowboys. Vikings, Broncos, they could start 2-3.
I see them more starting 3-2 there, but yeah, it's right in that general area.
Right. And something I had meant to preface. The NFC North as a whole has a pretty hard schedule this year.
Yeah.
Because they have to play the AFC West.
Well, and they have to play themselves.
Right. They play the AFC West, NFC West, and then each other. That's why I've got them all closer to 9-ish wins than like 13 wins.
And I think the big thing you have to look at here is there was so much chaos with the Green Bay Packers the last 2 seasons, really, under Mike McCarthy. And Aaron Rodgers was unhappy. And they went 7-9 and 6-9-1 in 17 and 18. I think the change to Matt LaFleur and the personnel growth in the organization alone should equal 2 or 3 wins.
Right.
And that puts you right at that 9 or 10 range. And so I think overall, I think that 10-6, 9-7 range sounds right for the Packers.
Right. They bring in Za'Darius Smith and Preston Brown Smith. There's
what
a Preston Smith and a Preston Brown.
Valdez Scantling or whatever.
Valdez Scantling was he was a 5th-round pick last year. Supposedly, like, he's going to be their wide receiver, too, this year.
Yeah, exactly. He's stepping forward. Devontae Adams is arguably one of the most productive wide receivers in football that doesn't get enough credit. He is consistently great, and Aaron Rodgers loves throwing the football.
Yep.
So he's going to be there still. I think Jimmy Graham you're going to see get a lot more targets this year, and I think overall the offense is going to be better, and I think that produces more wins without a question.
And your last pick?
Ultimately, my last pick is a team that I love to root for, and I always try and curb the hate towards them because a lot of people tend to hate on the Cowboys, right?
Ooh.
Normally, I am all in. I think if these reports on Dak are true, I think he's asking for too much money. And I don't necessarily disagree with Zeke holding out. And all this is leading to my decision to take the Cowboys under 9. I think the Cowboys
being at 9
is just too high.
They won like 9 one-score games last year. Which from year to year, I think that really tends to, and when I say I think, I've read about this, and it does, that tends to regress to the mean.
Yeah.
When it's, you know, when there's not much roster turnover, which they added Randall Cobb and cut Allen Hurns is basically their roster turnover.
And I felt like Amari Cooper really helped the offense last year, which is great. And I think Dak excelled with having Amari Cooper there. But ultimately, if Zeke doesn't play, you're not winning 9 games.
Right.
Ezekiel Elliott carries his team. He makes Dak as good as Dak is. Dak's fine. He's an average to slightly above average quarterback without Ezekiel Elliott on the field. When Zeke's on the field, he becomes a strongly above average quarterback because Zeke takes so much pressure off of everyone around him because he touches the ball 30 times a game, whether it's 20 rushing and 10 catching or 25 and 5.
Travis Frederick back, by the way.
Yeah, and that offensive line
that's big.
That's one of the things the Cowboys have had consistently over the last few years is a consistently good offensive line. They built this strong offensive line even in Tony Romo's final years, and they've now carried it into the Dak Prescott era, and I think that continues. But the risk of Ezekiel Elliott holding out for any period of time and this whole Dak needs an extension conversation alone causes too much chaos for me. 9 wins is way too high. I'm taking the under.
Yeah, especially without Zeke, even if Kellen Clemens is a great OC, as he is hypothesized to become, even though it's still his first year doing that, but you kind of need Zeke still.
And even if you think, okay, you take one from the Eagles, right? So you're 1-1 in the division there. You're probably going to lose one to the Redskins. The Redskins aren't awful, but it's just it's a division opponent.
It happens a lot.
So 1-1 against it. Now you're 2-2. And then even if you take both games from the Giants, you're 4-2. You still need to win 5 more games. Like that's a lot to ask of this team. And I like where they're going defensively. I'm a huge Van Der Esch guy, but I 9 wins is way too high for this team.
All right, so my 3 there were 49ers over 8, Vikings over 9, and Packers over 9.
And mine were the Seahawks over 8.5, The Lions under 6.5 and the Cowboys under 9.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.